Welcome to the Voice of Triumph, the audio ministry of Life of Faith Bible Church and Stephen Frazier Ministries, an outreach that is dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Frazier with today's message.
Let's open in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We've been in a series now for a little while on humility for humanity. Humility for humanity. It goes all the way back to how Jesus came. And he brought humility back to humanity to set us free from the pride that has separated us from God. Pride is at the root of all sin. It's at the root of every evil thing. And it is satanic. It is of the devil. And we go all the way back to the beginning in the book of Genesis, where the serpent breathed his pride into Adam and Eve. They partook of it and have spread it all throughout humanity from generation to generation. And so you and I are breaking the chains of pride that has held us, kept us in bondage, kept us in the dark concerning God, kept us doing things that we didn't want to do, but we were enslaved to it. Pride makes a slave out of your life. It professes freedom. It professes greatness, but it actually debases you, degrades you, makes you lesser than what you were created to be. You and I were created to be in the image and likeness of God. To walk even as our Master Jesus walked while he was here on the earth. Yes. Isn't that an amazing thing? Yes. How did he walk? Well, a lot of times when you say that, you talk about walking the way he walked, you think of his signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's true. Because Jesus did say over in John's Gospel, I think it's chapter 15 or 14, John 14. He said, those who believe in me will do the works that I do. And greater works than these shall they do. So we are to carry out the works of Jesus. The signs, the wonders, the miracles. To yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit in such a way that God can work through us in mighty wonders, in mighty power. But yet before all that, to walk like Jesus is to walk humbly, to walk in humility. In fact, hold your place in Philippians. Let's just look at it over in 1 John. It just keeps coming to me that we should look at it. 1 John chapter 2, in verse 6, he who says he abides in him. How many people would say they abide in him? They abide in Jesus. They abide in Christ. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Glory to God. That means we can. That means we can. We can walk just as Jesus walked. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're abiding in him. It's in abiding in him that we're able to walk the way he walked. We're able to walk in his humility. Because just like a branch abides in the vine and produces the fruit that is of that vine, you and I are like branches in the vine, the Lord Jesus. And as we abide in him, then fruit just flows out of our life. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, goodness, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. All these fruits of the Spirit are to flow out of our life if we're abiding in him, if we are surrendered to him. Just even the word abiding sounds restful, doesn't it? It's not like we're striving to get something, even striving to do something. We're just abiding. Just like a branch. It just abides in the vine. It's not trying to get to the vine, trying to hang on to the vine. It's not sitting there clinging to the vine. No, it's just a part of the vine. No matter what kind of wind blows by, it's just... You know, if it could be confident, it'd probably be very confident. It's just, you know, the vine's got me. See, we got to have that kind of attitude that the vine's got me. The Lord Jesus has got me. It's not about us getting him. It's about us abiding. It's about us letting him get us. Let him have us. Let him hold us. Let him take care of us. Let him do the good things that he wants to do for you. A lot of folks think they got to try to bend God's arm behind his back, you know, to try to get him to do something for him. That's why they get a lot of people to pray. If we can get enough people to pray, we could probably get God's arm up there, gonna force him into something. You know, this is just such a perverted idea about God, about prayer, about receiving from God. It is a receiving. It's not something we're earning. It's not something we're working for, striving after. I got news for you. God's goodness is coming down right now. His rain is coming down. The rain of his goodness is falling right now. Showers of mercy. Showers of grace. It's coming down right now. We got to stop running from it and putting our unbelief umbrella up. That's all unbelief is, man. It's just a spiritual umbrella. I'm trying so hard to believe God. I just don't know if I have the faith. See, they're focused all in on themselves. All focused in on themselves and their insufficiency, their inabilities, their weaknesses. And they're trying so hard to straighten themselves out, straighten themselves up so they can receive from God, so they can get a blessing from him. And all they're striving, all they're struggling is them walking around with their heads down and an umbrella of unbelief over their head. Faith pulls down the umbrella and says, "Ah, oh, this is so good. Oh, God is so good." That's what faith does. Faith is more about just getting out of God's way than trying to get our way with God. We're not trying to get our way with God. That's not faith. Faith just gets out of the way from blocking him, from not letting him do what he already wants to do for you. That's why he said when you pray, he said, don't go on and on and on about the same thing. Your Father knows what you have needed before you even ask. He knows what you have needed before you even ask. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you stuff. God wants you blessed. I got news for you. God wants you blessed coming in, blessed going out. Read the Bible. So we just got to receive it. We just got to welcome it. We just got to know it's all in him, by him, for him, and through him. That's so hard for pride. It's so hard for that pride of man to just give it all to God. Trust him to bring it to pass. To really rest in him. If you're really trusting, you're really resting. There's a rest about you. There's no anxiety. There's no fretting. There's no fearfulness. Whenever we see fear in our life and we're fretting, it's because we're not believing God and thus resisting God. Fretting is resisting God, which is not believing God. So as soon as you see the fretting, don't go on and on about why you're fretting and how you have a right to fret. Just go ahead and trade your fret in for faith. Trade in your fret for some faith. How do you trade it in? Well, number one thing is you repent. Repenting is such a good thing, such a blessing. You know, it's like taking off an old dirty garment. Aren't you glad you could take off dirty clothes before putting on nice clean clothes? I mean, think about it. I mean, if you had dirty stuff on, and then somebody gave you some nice clean stuff, and then you put the clean stuff on top of the dirty stuff, you're still going to feel dirty. Even though you're wearing clean stuff. It's nice to get the dirty stuff off first, throw that in the laundry. And then put on some clean clothes. Put on some clean stuff. Let's get rid of the dirty stuff first. That's what repentance does. Lord, I see that unbelief, which is nothing more than pride. I'm getting in your way again. Look at me. I'm all anxious. I'm all fretful. I'm all worried. I'm all troubled about many things. I'm trying to figure everything out with my head. I'm all worried. I'm in pride. Forgive me. I've identified the problem, and I repent of it. Once you identify it, you can repent of it and get free of it. And he says in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess it, if you'll identify it and confess, man up to it, confess it, he said he will forgive you of that and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Man, he'll just wash you from stuff you don't even realize that you're doing wrong. From all unrighteousness. If you take responsibility for the stuff you do know that you're doing wrong, then he'll take care of the stuff that you don't even know about. So that you can walk out of there clean and confident knowing I'm doing what I know to do. I'm doing what I know to do. And if you're doing what you know to do, bless God, you're going to know everything you need to know. And you're going to be able to receive everything you have need of from God. You're going to be able to have bold confidence in life before God. No devil in hell will be able to talk you out of the blessing of God that God has promised is yours in Christ Jesus. It's mine already. I just got to get out of the way. I said, I just got to get out of the way and receive. Receive of the blessing. Hallelujah. I'm just going to abide in him. I'm just going to rest in him and trust that the one that created me and began this work in me is going to complete the job. He who began a good work in you is now leaving it to you to complete it. Is that what the Bible says? No, it says he who began a good work in you, thank God it's a good work. He's faithful to finish the job. Hallelujah. Let him finish it. We got to see, pride wants to get in and try to finish everything. Probably wants to get in there and try to straighten everything up. No. He's going to finish the job. I'm just going to do what he leads me to do. I'm just going to do what he tells me to do. And I'm not going to try to do a whole bunch of other stuff to try to make it all come to pass. Because it'll all come to pass. Oh, praise the Lord. Man, I could just lie down right now. I feel so relaxed. Just talking about it, man. I tell you, it just builds your faith up, which builds your rest up. If you're growing in faith, you're growing in rest. If you're getting strong in faith, you're growing strong in rest. You're becoming more restful. More restful. Somebody say, I'm not anxious about anything. I'm abiding in him. He's going to bring it all to pass. Hallelujah. He's bringing it all to pass. All the love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, all of it. It's all coming to pass, man. It's all coming to pass in my life. I'm a blessing. Going somewhere to happen. Why don't you just tell somebody next, say, I'm a blessing. Going somewhere to happen. Hallelujah. Thank God you are. Thank God you are. So again, he says in verse 6, he who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Thank God we can walk in the humility of Jesus. Let's look a little bit more here at humility, what it looks like, how it acts, how it doesn't act, so we can identify it, identify our enemy pride when it tries to creep into our lives, and resist it. If you don't know it's your enemy, you just think, well, this is just the way it is, then you'll accept it, and it will take advantage of you. As enemies always do. But when you're able to identify it, say, ah, ha, 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 that's pride. Then bless God, you can resist it. You can resist it like it's the devil because it is. Resist that devil, and what's going to happen? He will flee from you as in terror. Instead of you being the one that's terrorized, let the devil be the one terrorized. Somebody's going to be afraid of somebody. It might as well be the devil being afraid of you. Somebody's afraid of somebody. And at my house, it's the devil who's afraid of me. Amen. I'm a constant horror flick for him. Every time he tries to manifest in my house, tries to come over to my house, tries to put some kind of symptom, tries to lie about some kind of thing, try to create some kind of fear in my house, I'll say, oh, devil, you came over for a good horror flick tonight. Starring me. That's how he messed with Satan. Hey there. He's not going to mess with me. I'll do the messing. We're the head, not the tail. We're above and not beneath. The devil's under our feet. That's what my Bible says. We're not under his attack. We're not under him. We're seated in heavenly places. I said, we're seated in heavenly places. Where are you seated? That's right. And the book of Psalms says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. That's where you and I are. Seated in heavenly places, just laughing. Glory to God forever. Laughing at the devil, laughing at these things. That sounds like somebody that's resting and just enjoying life, doesn't it? Somebody just sitting back laughing. Right? Just sitting back enjoying life. Praise God. He said to the Father last night, I said, Father, I just thank you. I'm just enjoying your inhabited world. I just delight in your inhabited world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Life is good in Jesus. We're the head, not the tail. We're not hanging on to him. He's hanging on to us. If he's hanging on to us, we're not going to fall. There's no danger of falling. I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid I'm going to fall. You know what that is? That's you pushing yourself out of the arms of Jesus through unbelief. Pride resisting him, pushing him away, pushing yourself out and setting yourself up for a fall. But there's no fall for those who abide in him because he's holding them up. Say, he's got me. He's got me. God's got me. Amen. I've begotten of God. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 in verse, let's pick it up here in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then he continues to go on and he continues to talk about humility and the humility of Jesus. But notice that there in verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says lowliness of mind. That word lowliness of mind is one word in the Greek, which also can be translated, having a humble opinion of oneself. Having a humble opinion of oneself. A deep sense of one's littleness, humility. It also means just humility. NIV says it this way, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility. Consider others better than yourselves. Notice that. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Conceit. A regular King James Bible, the original King James says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Again, New King James talks about selfish ambition or conceit. Here he says, through strife or vainglory. That word strife in the Greek means contentious. Contentious. We shouldn't be a contentious people. Let nothing be done out of strife. We shouldn't be doing anything being contentious. We shouldn't be trying to accomplish things through contention, through strife, through fighting, through arguing, through bickering. He says, don't do anything that way because it's all a part of pride. It's all a part of you being into you and trying to force yourself, force your opinion on other people. It's all selfishness and pride. Pride is, like we talked about last time, is comfortable with being contentious. Pride is actually uncomfortable with peace and rest. Too much peace and rest gets pride very uneasy, very uncomfortable, because it feels like it's not doing something. It has to be doing something. It has to be making something happen. We're just wasting too much time. It's all worried about the time, getting things done. It has a tough time just relaxing and being quiet. I know, being from New York, you know, I'm from a place that hustles and bustles. I mean, people move and shake. And out in traffic, it's eat or be eaten, as my dad would always say. You know, I remember there was a karate movie years back called Kill or Be Killed. You know? So it was like, man, you had to be aggressive or you just got eaten up. If you just sat there like Mr. Polite at the exit ramp, man, you might never get out into traffic. Nobody's going to let you in. You know, it's funny here. I mean, it's actually comical, you know. There's a detour sign or, you know, a road construction up ahead, and right lane is closed. You know, 3 miles away. And everybody's jamming over into the left lane. And it's like they just leave this perfectly good lane and just plug the thing up. Now, I'm trying to teach you, some of you folks need this. And they just plug the whole thing up. And everybody's just generating, and then some guy uses a perfectly good lane and they're waving their fist. How dare you use that lane? Can't you see the sign that says road closed 3 miles up ahead? Can we take this thing to the end?
Then you got the big trucker. Hey, Charlie, pull your truck up next to mine. And we're going to take this thing real slow. We're just going to back everybody up behind us because we're the big dogs on the road. This is our road. We're not going to let anybody get around us.
Meanwhile, it's like if everybody would just take turns at the where the little cones tell you to move over, if everybody just took turns, we'd keep moving. All the strife and pride. You could feel the pride. The intimidation. It's like, don't drive any further down that perfectly good lane. Yeah. And you could feel it. It's like, people are so intimidated. It's like, oh. Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. New York, it's so funny. You're not going to see that in New York. It's like, they're going to use that lane. They're going to use the grass. They're using the emergency lane. It's like, we're going to use everything we can till we get up there to the cone. And even a little bit more after the cone. Now, I'm not saying that's right. Have you know those ditches on both sides of the road? There's the Southern Ditch. And then there's the New York Ditch. Thank God the Bible teaches us to walk right down the middle of the road. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Where was I going with that? I wish I could hit a rewind button right now. How did I get off on it? I was enjoying that so much, I just lost myself. Glory be to God. Hey, that's all a bunch of strife, you know. Probably something like that. That's probably what I was talking about. It'll come back. Anyhow. Contentious. Nothing, we shouldn't be doing anything out of strife and bickering and fighting. You're not getting anywhere. You're going backwards. Actually, if you're in strife trying to make things happen, you're actually going backwards. You're actually going in the wrong direction. Bible talks about how strife, it only produces harm. You're not really getting your way. You're actually setting yourself back. So, notice again, he says, I'm going to read this actually from today's English version. It says, don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble towards one another, always considering others better than yourself. So we esteem people. We appreciate people. We're not going to fight with people. We're not trying to defend ourselves. We're not trying to prove ourselves. Just the other day, I don't know exactly what it was. We went to a restaurant, yeah, and then something happened, and with the table situation. And as we were walking to the table, Mark looked at me, my son, and he said, "Dad, they're going to think we're stupid." I said, "Son, we are." I said, "We are." He said, "Oh." I mean, that was just the end of it right there. I mean, what more can you say to that? Well, we are. What is there to get uptight about? What is there to get defensive about? I mean, just saying those words just brought a lot of relief to me. If we do that or we don't do this or whatever, we're going to look stupid. Well, we are.
Amen.
You might as well get used to it. Get used to reality. The truth is, we are. We're very ignorant. We're very stupid. Put yourself up next to the mind of God. Are you kidding me? You hang around with him, you get acquainted with him, and you get to understand what brilliant is all about, what smart is all about, what wisdom is all about. He's awesome. And that's why it's so important to spend time with him, because it has a shrinking effect on your flesh. It shrinks your carnality, builds your faith, but shrinks you. Shrinks you. Shrinks you down to size so you can walk in reality. The Word has a humbling effect on you. That's why you got to get in the Word. You got to spend time in the Word of God, because, again, we got pride coming at us all the time. We need something to help have a humbling effect on us, because pride is always trying to have its effect on us 24/7. There's always things trying to inflate us and puff us up. So we need something to help deflate us. I'm not talking about a football. I'm talking about your head. Are you listening to me? We need a little deflating going on around here. You'd be able to throw better. You'd be able to, you know, you'd be able to, come on, you'd be, some of you would score a few more points in life. If you deflate a little bit, come down, deflate, littleness of mine, lowliness of mine, and stop being all into empty glorying and self-conceit. Even a lot of folks that are out serving others, they're really in there serving others are really more serving themselves than the people that they're supposed to be serving. Like we saw Martha last week. Remember, she was just full of cares, full of worries, full of anxieties. And that shows right there that she was more concerned about herself than the people that she was actually supposedly serving, including Jesus. Notice here in Isaiah 58, in verse 4, he says, "Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high." Now, the whole purpose of fasting, it's to help humble ourselves. You know, you go without eating some of your favorite food, some of the things maybe you habitually eat before going to bed at night or what have you. And man, you'll discover real quickly how much your flesh has been in charge. You know, as long as you're just kind of going along with the flesh, you don't realize what a big shot he is in his own mind. I'm talking about your flesh. And then you go on, you go ahead, and then you deprive it of something. You tell it, "No, we're not going to have that. We're going to fast." And you say that from your spirit. From your spirit, you proclaim a fast. Oh boy. Suddenly you're going to see how much that body has a voice in your life. How much that thing has been in charge. You thought you just going through your day, just go ahead and you have your hot dog, a little extra sauerkraut, come over here and eat your donut. Just keep shoving. Everything's cool, man. I don't really have much of a problem with pride. Tenth cup of coffee. I feel great. Life is good. I'm very humble before God. And then you go ahead and you tell your flesh, we're not going to have the bowl of cereal anymore before going to bed at night. No, we're not going to have that favorite donut anymore. No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to. And you begin to tell your flesh no. And all of a sudden you find out you have a flesh. That's when you all of a sudden discover there's something else here. Because it'll rise up like a bear. You see, it's been a bear the whole time. But you've just been cuddling in its arms. So if you, your spirit is in hibernation, just enjoying the bear hug. It's a nice, warm, furry bear on a winter day. And then you told the little bear, no. And he went, and that first day is the toughest. When you say, I'm going to fast for 3 days. Now, you don't have to fast for 3 days. You could fast. You could just fast a meal. Fast a little bit here, a little bit there. But you decide, I'm going to fast for 3 days. Some of you ought to give that a shot. And all of a sudden you begin to find out how much your flesh depended on and lived for the things that you're now fasting it from. You'd be amazed how much food plays a role in people's lives, how much control it exercises over them, how much they're dominated by it. Come on, you go back to Genesis, man. It was some kind of fruit from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was fruit. They just couldn't resist it. And what was it? Satan was behind it. Pride was behind the whole thing. Pride was behind the eating of that fruit. How about Jacob and Esau? Jacob, man, he hungered after the things of God. Esau, he comes in, he sees a big bowl of stew that Jacob made, and he says, man, give me some of this soup, lest I die. I'm starving to death. I mean, that's a big exaggeration. The more you exaggerate things, the more you create a panic attack in your soul. All these worries, all these fears, all these anxiety, I'm going to starve to death if I don't have something now. It's an exaggeration. That's what pride does. It puffs everything up. It inflates everything. It exaggerates everything. And so, you know, Jacob said, well, sell me your birthright and I'll give you some soup. And he says, what profit is this birthright if I die of starvation? Here's my birthright. Give me some of that food. And he despised his birthright for a bowl of soup. But it really wasn't about soup. It was about what dominated his life. It wasn't God. God didn't dominate his life. He dominated his life. His appetite dominated his life. His lust, his desires, his wants. That's what controlled his life. It wasn't God. I don't want anything controlling my life. We don't want anything controlling our life. We want God, the one who's in control of our life. We want to submit ourselves humbly to him and not allow our appetite, our lust, to be the thing that's calling the shots concerning where we're going to go and what we're going to do. We want to be led by him. We want to follow him. So fasting is a great way to humble the flesh, to bring that thing in subjection, bring that thing under the control of God. You all got real excited about that. I could tell. You're all thinking, let's see, wings and dip and chips. And I didn't say you couldn't have your chips. But I'm just saying, sometimes it's good to proclaim a fast. Amen. Hallelujah. Amens are getting so weak. It's like, amen. It's like the bear is rising up saying, I suddenly feel very tired.
I can't really hear the pastor anymore. I don't know why. He just seems to be getting so far away.
Don't let the bear do that to you. Huh? Rise up like Grizzly Adams, man. Take the bear by the beard, man, and just take charge. Take charge of the thing. Come on. Let God be God. Let God. God's going to be God. You got to be intense when it comes to pride, because pride is intense. You got to deal with it very severely. Pride is arrogant. It's arrogant. It's as arrogant as Satan himself. It's arrogant. Wants to be in control of everything. It'll dominate your life. Wants to keep God out. I'm going to be in control. Praise the Lord. I'm in control. It's got this little praise the Lord image that it puts on for itself. But it's a bear. It's got to be brought down. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You got to be severe with it. Yeah. You got to be ready to do business. I remember there was a time I couldn't sleep at night. I was exhausted. I couldn't wait to get to bed. I finally get to bed, my sleep leaves. And sometimes, you know, I'll get up and pray and things like that. But, you know, this is just, it just kept happening. Night after night. And my sleep, I just couldn't sleep. It's like, it's ridiculous. I'm lying in bed and my flesh now won't let me sleep. Had me running around, doing this thing. Now I'm trying to shut the thing down, and now it's, no, I want to stand up. Wants to be in control. Well, let's do the opposite. So I want to go to sleep. So I knew this was the devil. I knew this was the flesh. And so I just rose up after a while, sitting there, and I just said, okay, that's it. Now, if I'm not asleep in the next few minutes, just a few minutes, I'm getting up, and I'm going to pray. I'm not praying for me. I'm going to pray in tongues, and I'm going to pray for other people. So I better go to sleep. And I put my head on the pillow and it was like the devil hit me with a 2x4. Let him go to sleep. That madman's going to stop praying. Even the flesh don't like praying. Flesh will fight you. Until you train it. You got to train the thing. You got to train. Once you train it, it will cooperate. You got to train it. And, you know, because I remember way back, you know, I had decided one time, I said, that's it, I'm going to pray for an hour in tongues. I thought that was going to be huge. Just in tongues. Praying time. I never prayed in tongues for an hour. Yeah, this is years ago, you know, it's newly saved. So I said, bless God, I'm going to do it. So I started praying in tongues. Then I got down on my knees praying in tongues. And I mean, I was working at it. I was so conscious of me. Instead of me just enjoying God, you know, and just abiding and flowing and, you know, doing this thing. I mean, I'm working this thing. Every 5 minutes, I'm looking at the clock thinking, it must be over now. And I'm praying in tongues. The more I'm praying in tongues, the more angry my flesh is getting. My flesh is like, what time is it now? I'm like, it's only been 5 minutes. And so we pray a little bit more. And I'm telling you, by the end of an hour, my flesh was a raving madman. You'd think after praying in tongues for an hour, because I remember I went to a meeting one time and the minister came out, he said, I've been praying in the Holy Ghost for 6 hours. He said, I don't care about anything anymore. The guy was just like totally high on God. I thought, I'm going to do that. I didn't get high. My flesh got so mad. I'm like, Shandai, 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 Shandai. That devil's getting more, that flesh is getting more and more angry. And by the time that thing was over, I got up. And I walked out of the room and I said, I confessed it with my mouth. I said, I'm going to go get out of the grocery store. I'm going to get a pint of chocolate chip ice cream and I'm going to have it now. And I ran out of the house. Literally did it. Ran to the grocery store. Got myself a pint of chocolate ice cream and chips and everything. And I just devoured half of it. And then when I finished half of it, all of a sudden I realized, what have I done? All of a sudden I looked at myself. I thought, look at me. I'm out of control. Reminds me of the time I went back to New York. You know, everybody kept talking about the lobster and the seafood and all the things that we used to eat in New York. Next thing you know, things just started getting stirred up. Got to New York, you know, got to that seafood restaurant, sat down there, said, I'm going to have me a lobster. Put a lobster in front of me. Somebody said, you better put this on. I put the bib on. They had a little bib that came with it. Because they give you these, you know, nutcracker things, shell crackers. Juice goes everywhere, you know. And so I just started cracking it, and I started eating it, and I started devouring it. And I mean, all of a sudden, halfway through it, all of a sudden, it was like something inside me said, "Look at you." And I looked down, and there was fish and juice all over my hands. I thought, what has become of me? I'm devouring this cockroach of the sea. Like it's a god. I said, that's it. I said, you're never going to do that to me again. And it hasn't. When I saw that, I thought, you're never going to do that to me again. I let my flesh have it. Sometimes you got to punish your flesh. Y'all doing all right? This is a real great message. Isn't this great? Encouraging word. Paul said, I beat my body. Didn't he say that? Where did he say that? Do you know where he said that? 1 Corinthians. He says it in the Bible. Chapter 10, I think. Maybe chapter 9. Let's just hold our place here in Isaiah. There's plenty of good things we can come back to here. Be patient. Come with me over to 1 Corinthians. And look at this here in chapter 9, verse 24. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the Super Bowl, everyone who competes for the prize, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. We can say, I beat my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Notice that attitude. I discipline my body. I'm not beating the air. I'm beating my body. I'm disciplining my body and bringing it into subjection. Now, I know this sounds like torture to some of you. This is just like, my Lord, this is hard. This is rough. No, this is the way to absolute, total freedom and liberty. This is the way to ruling and reigning in life. This is getting to a place where you're not being dominated and controlled by your flesh or external things. You're not being controlled by anger and outbursts of wrath and selfish ambitions. You're not being controlled by an ego. You're not being controlled by what people say about you. You're not controlled about the opinions of men. You're not controlled by anything. I'm telling you, this is the way to total freedom. This is the way to ruling and reigning in life. It's rising up and taking control of that body, taking control of that flesh that wants to be pampered, that wants to be God, that wants to be in control. But the way to be in control is giving God the controls. Because when you give Him the controls, it puts you in a position of authority in life. It puts you in a position to rule in life because that's His will for you. And if He is in control, if His will is in control of your life, then friend, you're going to find yourself ruling in life. And it's going to be a resting while ruling because you're just abiding in Him. And His love, His power, His goodness, everything that He is, all that He has, is flowing forth from your life. Man. So that you are in control when you've actually submitted control to Him. But if you keep trying to maintain the control and continue to allow the flesh to dominate you by giving it everything it wants whenever it wants it, and it's able to say what it wants to say when it wants to say it, you will be a slave to circumstances. You'll be a slave to your own flesh. You'll be a slave of the enemy. You'll be a slave of sin. I'm telling you, this is the way to absolute freedom. So there is a suffering in the flesh by disciplining yourself, taking control of things. But oh man, the rewards that come from that. Just like natural exercise. People work out, they do things physically, to exercise. You know, nobody wants to do that. I don't want to do that. It hurts. It hurts, it's heavy. Well, you're going to get heavy. And that's going to hurt. Are you with me? So you might as well just go ahead and press through it. Come on, somebody. And do some things to say, I'm going to take charge and discipline my body. Nobody's asking you to run a marathon. But begin to take charge. And fasting is one way you can begin to do that. Just begin to deprive your flesh of some things and just deliberately make the decision to do it. Now, don't sit there and say, you know, maybe I'll do that. No, 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 you won't work. Your flesh will win. When those desires rise up, you'll be given and say, well, maybe next time. You got to go into it like, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And you got to be determined about it. And so, but here in Isaiah 58... which we've run out of time for today, to your great disappointment. Here, their fasting actually made them more fleshy. Kind of like what my praying did. It was all motivated by the wrong thing. It's like you try to prove something, you know, it was like a pride thing. He said, you fast for strife and debate. And to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? Verse 5. A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call that this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? This is so good. This is the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. What he's talking about here? He's talking about reaching out, extending yourself out beyond yourself to be a blessing to others, to help set other people free, to help others, to not just be interested in your own things, but to be interested in others, not just getting your own needs met, but saying, Lord, put me in a position, help me to be able to meet the needs of other people. Verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Help me to share my bread with the hungry. And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You shall call on the Lord and he will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. Hallelujah. The Lord will hear your prayers, man. Your confidence will be strong in God because your flesh doesn't dominate you. You're not just living for yourself to gratify yourself, to take care of yourself, but you're concerning yourself with other people. You're reaching out to be a blessing to others. You're fasting so that you can be a greater vessel that God can work through to bless humanity. Come on. To touch other people's lives. You're fasting so that you get yourself in a position for God to be able to bring forth his will in your life. To get those obstacles out of the way that hinder him from doing the things that he wants to do. It's not to just get more of your way. Well, if I went to church, God would bless me. A lot of people do a lot of things that look good, but their motives are wrong. Can't be motivated out of me, self. All about me, pride. It's got to be about God. It's got to be about others. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm a blessing. Going somewhere to happen. Amen. Well, stand on your feet with me this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299. Or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.